each year when it comes time for Kabbalah Satayra, so the Baruch Shalom, as you all know, is giving us the Torah again. It's not something we just talk about that once happened, but we're having it right now, we're receiving the Torah right now. A person would say that it would make sense any time that we would want to be kaina a chachma, when a person wants to understand something, when he wants to be able to lahavdil, to prepare for some exam, and he needs time to focus, to concentrate, it would make sense, and we understand, that the best hachana for Kabbalah's hachachma, to receive any chachma, would be for the person to be in a place at a time where he's able to have quiet, where there's nobody at all bothering him, where there's no noise, there's absolutely nothing to disturb, to take his mind off of what he has to do. So therefore we would have thought that the Baruch Shalom would have given us the Torah in such a matzav, that we should have already been in Eretz Yisrael, Ish tachas gafni, Ish tachas teinasa. In other words, the Baruch Shalom, we would have said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you really wanted us to chap, you really wanted us to get this, you really want us to understand it, then the ideal classroom situation would have been for you to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, to finish up the whole tumult. There was a big tumult until we got to Eretz Yisrael, that we should be able to finally settle. Each person would have been in his home, in his place, and the garden would have been already manicured, and everything was working. And then the Baruch Shalom would have said, Kindalach, come together. We're going to have a special time now. Anoich Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. And if any of us would have planned or spoken to experts in education, we would have done something along those lines, where each and every one of us would have been prepared for Kabbalah Satayra by having peace of mind, in a state of Menuchas HaNefesh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the opposite. Mamish, the opposite. He gave us the Torah in the Midbar, in the desert, which the Torah itself describes was Ve'ya'ancha Ve'ya'rivecha. We were deprived, we were hungry, it was difficult, the conditions of traveling and the schlepping, it was a matzav that was the hepech, the opposite of any normal situation where a person would be able to learn, to hear, to receive, to absorb. Why did the Baruch Shalom give us the Torah in such a matzav of shviras haguf, of tzibrachenkeit, and of not being home? We receive the Torah in a state of homelessness. And everyone knows that the best way to learn and the best way to hear is when you're in your place, in the right place, at the right time. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? So we have a Torah from one of the great, great Bali Musa of the last generation, Rabbi Yeruchim from Mir. Rabbi Yeruchim in Parshas Vayichi explains that it's certainly true that a person needs to learn in a matzav where he's able to concentrate, and he needs to have menucha. And lemaisa, we know that the moment that the Torah was given, Chazal tell us that even the birds stopped fluttering, and the flowers weren't making any sounds, the trees shaking in the wind, that the whole was absolutely and totally, completely silent to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But lemaisa, everything that surrounded Maimon HaSinai, the entire environment, and the matzav of Klai Yisrael at that time was the opposite of Menuchas HaNefesh, was the opposite of the state of Menucha. Rabbi Yeruchim says that our problem is that we don't really understand what Menucha truly is, and to explain what Menucha really is, and this brings us to the aside of our entire discussion of Menuchas HaNefesh, the mistake that's made in the world. And this mistake has had a devastating effect upon us, particularly in modern times, as we'll see in a moment. The mistake that's made by the Anshei Ha'ilim in the world, and we often fall into this, is that we identify Menucha as Menuchas Haguf. In other words, when a person wants to relate to a certain time in his life, to refer to a certain time in his life as being a time of menucha, the picture that he'll always conjure up will be one of you know, being on his lounging chair or in his hammock, if he's zeichet to have one in his backyard under a tree on a beautiful day with a good, with a nice piece of mezainis and a cup of tea or a soda next to him, and he's reading one of his favorite books or looking in some nice maisibich, a storybook or something, and he doesn't have to go to work and he doesn't have any cell phone or telephone or computer, all the wires have been disconnected. And that is his reference point of menuchas, of a state of menuchas hanefesh. He connects it to a matzav, to circumstances that are comfortable with his menuchas haguf. In other words, our way, the world's way of identifying or of defining menucha is when all of my needs have been satisfied. I had a good meal, I have everything that I need, I'm taken care of, and I have nothing to do, I have no worries, everything is gewaldig. Rabbi Yochanan says that this mistaken way of understanding menucha, not only does it not bring menuchas hanefesh to our lives, but this itself is the source of all of the bilbulim, of all of the turbulence in life. Why? It's very posh. He says that a person naturally over time begins to understand that menucha, that in order for me to have menucha, in order for me to experience any type of quiet, of inner quiet, of serenity, of silence, in order for me to experience that, it means that it can only be under specific circumstances where I have menucha saguf. In other words, where the conditions of my life are completely, completely conducive to having that kind of menucha sanefesh. So we all know, Rabbi Yochum says, that life is filled with millions and billions of unpredictable variables. Life is completely unpredictable. So since the person understands from the earliest time of his life that the only way that he could truly experience any type of inner tranquility is if the external environment is conducive to that, and the conditions of his life at that time in Bnei Chaim is under the kids, everybody's either when they're little they're all quiet and they're in bed, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in school, or when they're older they're all nicely married and they're making a panasa. And Chai, everybody is healthy and everybody is well and there are no problems, God forbid. Everything is berevach, everything is good. So when all of those things match up and everything is gewaldig, so then the person is able to have his spot under the tree in the backyard, and he's able to take a deep breath and say, ach, this is menucha sanefesh. Now I have menucha. So because of that, the saddest thing in the world is that any tiny little disruption, disturbance, any little turbulence, any wave that comes along in life to upset the perfect picture, that is the only picture that can provide me with a sense of inner tranquility and peace, is if everything is exactly the way that I expected it to be, the way that it needs to be. So what happens is that at the time that there's even the slightest little disturbance, if there's a little bit if it's ruffled in the slightest way, and there's a little bit of a crease in that picture of perfection, of external circumstances or conditions of menucha, then the person becomes altogether tzibrach. He becomes altogether broken. He becomes entirely torahed. He becomes completely lost in that machshava about something with the children is not right, something with the health chalil is not right, something with the panos is not right. There's noise, there's this, there's that. The conditions of life are not up to us. And therefore any person whose objective in life is to achieve this state of menuchas hanefesh, but a menuchas hanefesh that depends upon menuchas haguf, Rabbi Yochum says this person can be compared to somebody who's trying to quench his thirst by drinking salty water. That even though at the moment that the drink is going down the throat, that second that you're drinking it, lamaisa, there is a feeling that the thirst is being quenched. But the mitzias is, Rabbi Yochum says, the mitzias is that the second after he finishes the drink, he realizes that the thirst is more unbearable than ever before. So it's the same thing that a person who's trying to acquire menuchas hanefesh, inner tranquility, by means of establishing an external state of tranquility, of peace, and optimum conditions that are conducive to the inner tranquility. That davke, that need for menuchas aguf, itself becomes an objective in life, because he believes that with menuchas aguf he'll be able to achieve menuchas hanefesh. And by constantly seeking this menuchas aguf, and not only that, by always telling his wife that why you want to know why I'm so nervous? I'm so nervous because of A, B, and C. So you want to know why I can't be happy, why I can't be a person who's a baal menuchas nefesh? It's because today the car service was 4 minutes late in picking me up. It's because the hammock that I was lying on is creaking when I was shaking, you know, when I was moving. It's because I have to now worry because Yankees are going with that girl, and I don't know if that's good, and I have this and that. If everything would be exactly the way that I want and exactly the way that I plan, then you would have a husband that's mamish, mamish happy, and he's a baal menuchas nefesh, and he's easygoing and kind and soft and tranquil and gentle and so on. But since my menuchas hanefesh is depending upon the menuchas aguf that I imagine, and usually our picture of menuchas aguf is so far-fetched, it's so bizarre and strange. Our parents and grandparents never ever had such demyonis of menuchas aguf like we have. They never had such a thought of menuchas aguf like we have, because we feel that we're part of the American dream, and we kum zu uns, and kum zu mir, it's coming to me, and I know this one has like that, and I know this one has like that. And we see people on the outside, and the conditions of their life seem to be providing for them that menuchas aguf. I mean, mainly we imagine that they have the menuchas and efesh that we're so desperately longing for, which is also not true, and they b'chalal don't have it. And everybody knows that the bigger the mansion, and the less need for panasa, and the less children, the bigger the daigas, the bigger the headaches, the more the nerves, the more the care. All of that is dimyonis. But a person imagines that when he has that menuchas aguf, then he'll be able to achieve menuchas hanefesh. Therefore, Rabbi Yochum says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo prepared us for a life of Torah, for Kabbalah's Torah, in the opposite way that we would have expected. He prepared us davke by bringing us into a midbar, into a desert. He prepared us davke by taking away from us the central air conditioning, and taking away from us the microwave, and all the other good things in life that would have made it perfectly pleasant and a nice afternoon, a nice morning to be able to hear Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The Baruch Hashem took all of that away, and he gave us the Torah davke in that matziv of Vayancha Vayarivecha of the midbar, and all of this is davka so that a person should be able to come to an emes menuchas nefesh. An emes, a true menuchas nefesh that one needs in order to acquire the Torah, in order to acquire Torah and to be a person of Torah, which is a menuchas nefesh that is completely and totally independent. A menuchas nefesh that is real, and it's from within oneself, that is not in the slightest way totally dependent on the external circumstances of a person's life, so that you could be a Jew that's makabel the Torah, whether you're in the midbar, whether you're in the desert, or in the other deserts that our people have had to be through, whether or not you're some Jew that's hiding in a bunker someplace in a ghetto in Varsha or in Lodz, whether you're somebody that you're on a boat schlepping from one place to the next, whether you're on an 8-hour car ride, that you should be a person that at any second of your life you are able to turn within yourself, and despite the storm that is surrounding you, that you'll be able to enter into that hidden private chamber of menuchas nefesh, the world of menuchas nefesh. So the way that the Baruch Hashem prepared us for that was in the midbar, in that way of Vayancha Vayarivecha. How does one, is a person kinder, menuchas hanefesh, pnimis, true menuchas hanefesh, not menuchas hanefesh that is contingent upon menuchas aguf. How does a person acquire that? So we go back to the first line in Mesillas Yesharim, where the Ramchal says, Yisoid HaChasidus, V'shoresh HaAvayda HaTmima. the basic yisoid of chassidus, the foundation of righteousness, and the shoresh and the root of perfect service of Hashem. She is barer, v'yis ameis eitzel ha'odom, that it should become absolutely clear and true in your heart, clear to you and obvious to you. Eitzel ha'odom, ma chavoso ba'olamo, what is his obligation, his responsibility? Ma chavoso ba'olamo. Now listen carefully. Ulamat sarach sheyosim ma'abotoi u'magamoso kol yimei chayiv. Ulamat sarach sheyosim ma'abotoi. What must he constantly be looking towards? What must he be seeking? What is his goal? What's his objective? Kol yimei chayiv. All the days of his life. When a person lives in this way, where every single moment of his life, there's one tachlis, kivus elokim litoiv, closeness to Hashem, tveikus b'Hashem. Whatever we've been learning with the chaverim in the Bilvavi, it's the same thing in the Ramchal, and it's the same thing in all of the Svarim HaKadoshim. When a person is able to establish in a way that's yisbar v'yisames, what is my chayv in the world? We have many secondary, tertiary things in life that we must do. Panosa and all other things in life that we have to take care of. And in those areas, there are a million unpredictable variables that are completely not up to us. And then as much as we plan to have the perfect kid, it's lav davka. And as much as we plan to have the perfect panosa, and you went to the best school, and your parents spent a fortune of money, and they put you in the best school, and the best college, the best graduate school, it could be that the mazel in the market and all these things change. All of these things are swirling around in a person's life. But as long as he lives with what? With machevosa ba'olamai, and there's one thing, shetzar, ulamash tzarech sheyosim ma'abotu ma'agamosa kol yimei chayiv, there is one unchanging, concrete, solid reality in my life that is the tachlis of my life, and that no matter how much the situations and the circumstances around me are changing from one moment to the next, but there is that steady, constant, unchangeable metzias of what is the tachlis of my life, which is kivus elokim litoiv, which is lis'anigal Hashem, like the Ramchal says, to connect to the Baruch Hu, to delight in Hashem, and to connect to Him. Whenever a person lives throughout his life in one matzav, then he's not going to be broken by the unexpected changes that take place in all of those unpredictable things in life. He's not going to be broken, and it's not going to create a tirda. Because what is it that is, what does it mean, a tirda? What takes away our manucha? What destroys us and takes away our manucha? The fact that a person is living in many changing and often conflicting matzavim simultaneously. That's what we spoke about a few weeks ago from Rabbi Yosef Ber, when he described the spiritual nomad. That person who might have the most gorgeous home in the world, but lamaisi, he's homeless. Because even when he's sitting in his home, his thoughts are in 10 different places. He's not sure at that moment of his life what his tachlis is, what's the tachlis of his life. And he's constantly struggling with the changes, especially now where everything happens so quickly. It used to be that changes would take some time and things would happen over a course of years, of months, of years. Everything happens now like in a millisecond. And a person whose menucha and whose simcha is totally depends upon the quiet of the world that he's in, that person's constantly in a state of tzibrochenkeit. He can never ever have menuchas and nefesh. Because that person is constantly changing his hats from one scene to the other. He's constantly shifting his focus in life. And because of that, he's a nomad. And that's why even if you have the panos you're looking for, and you have the house that you're looking for, inside of yourself there could be such turmoil. Inside of yourself there could be such turbulence, because you're not in one tachlis. You're not living in that one shayrish that the Messiah Shem spoke about, lamat sarach sheyosim ma'abotu u'ma'agamosu kol yimei chayiv, that one clear, overriding, all-encompassing tachlis that's one in my life. So instead, what happens is that this person who doesn't live that way is being torn all the time and being pulled in opposite directions. So he's not able to find any tranquility, any peace within himself, because at every moment of his life, there's a different objective, there's a different goal, there's constantly shifting scenes in his brain and in his heart, in his life, and he can't find any menucha. And that's why, when we think about how soldiers are prepared for battle, think about how they train the fellas, nowadays I guess the girls also, that go to the army, that they train them. So again, if we were the balabatim over the army, chas v'shalom, and we would have to think and plan, what would be the best thing that we could do to help these soldiers maintain their composure, develop a sense of peacefulness and clarity? Sof kol sof, let's keep in mind that as they report here into the base, could be that a month from now they're going to be on the front. They're going to be seeing action. They're going to be out there. So we would say, a person who doesn't understand how the army works would say that if we really, really wanted to prepare these guys for the war, it's going to be such a tumult. It's going to be terrible. They're not going to have even a moment's peace. They're not going to be able to relax. They're not going to be able to take good showers, to go swimming, to play a little tennis, to catch up on their reading, a little bit of basketball, some old movies and so on, right? So we would prepare the guys for the Milchama by giving them, by taking them, let's say, you know, to Honolulu for a couple of weeks and showing them a good time, and that they should be able to relax and so on, in order to be mechazik themselves, and to have, and to be able to come into the milchama in a state of menucha, that they have that feeling of being composed and so on. But of course, the metzias is just the opposite. All the targilim, all of the exercises that prepares the soldiers for the milchama, all of them are just the opposite of what we described. Is to deprive the soldier, to deprive him of his rest, to deprive him of his sleep, to deprive him of his food, to deprive him even of his dignity. The way that I remember reading about that, I remember seeing years ago when I was a kid on television, like in West Point or these places, how they scream and bark at them and they treat them and they mamish abuse them. I don't know if it's still going on nowadays. I'm not sure how they can get away with these things. But the way that they would prepare, the way that they prepare the soldier for the milchama is in a matzah of V'ya'ancha, V'ya'rivecha, mamish. They throw them into the midbar, they throw them into a desert type of situation, and every single thing has to be done. V'chipazim, rushing, and shiris ha'guf, and depriving the body of every comfort, and breaking them physically, breaking them mamish, in such a way that the person, that the soldier, will be able to contend with what he's going to have to go through in the upcoming Milchama. I mentioned the other day, I was talking about this, and I mentioned how I remember when I was there, when I was a kid and I lived in Eretz Yisrael, so there were chilukei deis in my house regarding an upcoming trip that we were supposed to take with my class. You know, in growing up in New York in yeshiva, a class trip meant like they would take all of us to Hayden Planetarium, right? That's what it's called, to the planetarium in Manhattan. They would take us to the planetarium or to the museum or something like that, after giving us a half hour drush about if you make a chil Hashem, we're going to, you know, we're going to kill you or something. And then they would take us to the planetarium, and that was the, you know, that was on a good day, that was a tiyul, to go to the museum or to the planetarium. In Eretz Yisrael, when I was in school in Eretz Yisrael, I was there for 8th grade, for 9th grade, the idea, this I remember was in 9th grade, the tiyul was bechlal, nothing like that. We were going to go for 3-4 days through like some military, you know, it was part of the Gadna program, military training for kids in high school, for 9th graders. So when I spoke to some of the guys, what exactly takes place on this tiyul? So the guys described it to me, and they were laughing and putting their arms around me, you know, spoiled American, and this is what it's going to be like, and this is what we're going to have to do. So of course I did what any normal American boy would do. I went crying to my mother, and I said, "Look, Ma, this is what the Reitzchem, not the Sembitten, want to do, and they're taking us on this crazy tiyul, and we're going to have to go dangerous places. We took up mountains and different places and all crazy things, and they were shooting and teaching us all this stuff." So my mother said, "There's absolutely no way. Don't worry, I'll write you a letter. You're not feeling well. You know, all these different things." So I tried to do this when my father wasn't home, but I guess, like always, my mother reported she reported to her commanding officer, that's my father, and my father said, what are you talking about? I'm going to write a letter, you should take him for, let him, all the Israelis can go home in 3 days, let him stay for an extra 2 or 3 days, that they should put him into, whip into shape, he's a baby, and you know, that was it. The next thing I know, I was off with my knapsack and filled with rugelach, and I remember, it's bichlal, the whole thing was how, when we came off the bus in the middle of nowhere, they let us off the bus, and we had this guy, you know, one of these Meccas Rav Kook people, the big, you know, Kippah Sruga, this guy that was like in 3 wars or something, and we're standing, we come out, it's in the middle of the desert, mamish, middle of the desert, and he tells us we have to take all of our things, and I don't know, like, what is this? Where are we going? I get scared because all the stories I heard in my house growing up, where are we going? What are we doing? And then we come to this place, and there's this mountain that looks like it's going straight up, and he says, run. He says, just run. And I said, why can't we take a bus? What do you have to run for? We can go around. What are we doing over here? And the Israelis, they mamish love this. This is like the chiyas. They're all laughing and happy, and they're running up there. And it was like, you know, 100 degrees. And it was... So, how does that prepare a person for the milchama? You know, I don't know why you have to get prepared so early, but how does that prepare a person for milchama? It's very simple. The soldier, when he's being trained, is being trained to be absolutely, completely, totally not dependent upon physical comforts, to be completely and totally prepared so at any moment anything in life could fall apart. Even God forbid he could be shot in one place, or he could be separated from the rest of his unit, whatever it might be. The training is that he's being taught, you have to live with one tachlis. The one tachlis is, you have to defeat the enemy. To defend the chevra and to defeat the enemy, we must be victorious. This is the tachlis. This is the tachlis. In other words, the soldier is being taught, machivasa b'olama. You have one tachlis. Therefore, in order for the soldier to be able to be lifted up to that place, he has one tachlis to get him ready for the milchama, that he's going to live like a mamish, like an animal, with that one tachlis to achieve that victory, to do whatever is necessary to be able to defend and to destroy. In order for him to be able to do that, what they do in basic training, the training camp, is they destroy, shatter, break away every single possible condition of life that would make it conducive for a person to feel that state of composure, of clarity, and of self-control. In order that this person be able to have self-control on the battlefront, when he's in that matzah of complete and total turmoil and confusion. Because why? Because he remains focused on that one tachlis. And every successful soldier, any soldier that ever was able to really accomplish something in the milchama, was only that type of a person who lived through his time of ayancha v'yarivecha, who was so completely, totally focused on the objective of the war that there was nothing that could stop him, and there was nothing in the world that would disrupt or disturb that avoided towards his tachlis, towards accomplishing what his tachlis was in life, which was to destroy the enemy. That's why we know the matzav now in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about this many times, that there's a very, very, very difficult situation where studies are showing that the morale is very low among many of the chaver in the army, because in the earlier years, after the Medina was established, in those early years, and when it was established, the time of those early milchamas, there was an idealism, even amongst the chevra that were not religious, there was still a very, very strong belief that this is Eretz Yisrael, and we have one tachlis, and the tachlis is the motherland, our mother is in danger, Yushalayim, we have to get Yushalayim, and we have to take back Chevron and Shechem. This is our place, this is our neshama is mamish in the soil of the land. And since even the ones that were not religious came from a background believing in that and feeling very strongly the attachment to Eretz Yisrael and feeling mamish as part of the Eretz Yisrael is the avil and neshama, is mamish the neshama of a Jew, is Eretz Yisrael. So mimela, the soldiers were strengthened with that tachlis, with machivasei ba'olamai. And no matter what went on around them, as long as they remained focused on that tachlis, then the army was invincible. It was an invincible army. And nobody in the world could explain, how is it possible that millions of Arabs couldn't defeat the small army of a couple of Jews who are not famous for their koiches and their singing and fighting? The Teretz is, it might be that we're not known for our ability to wage a war, but we are known for our intense devotion to the Ribono Shel Olam. And for a person to be able to feel machevasi ba'ilami, and when that person is absolutely, completely, totally focused on what that one tachlis is in his life, then there's nothing that could take him away from it. He's absolutely unstoppable. He's invincible. And not only that, he doesn't cry and hide under a bush and bury himself under the sand every time there's a bullet that whizzes by or a bomb that goes off. We're not masik that. Because we were raised where it's unpleasant to have bullets and bombs. And any slightest sound, if any of us hear that somebody gets a flat tire, you know, on Woodmere Boulevard, and you hear it from your house, then already you have to go for therapy. You understand? It's already, you know, you thought it could be a terrorist attack. It's not a terrorist attack. You know, we've been raised in such a way we're completely dependent upon everything being just right and nice and quiet and calm and good. And afal pichein, we have less menuchas hanefesh than any of our ancestors had, than any of the people that lived through times, turbulent times that we're describing. We have less menuchas hanefesh than them. Because why? Because we're not single-minded. We're lacking in that connection, in that dveikus to machay vasi ba'ilami, and to what am I focused? What's my megama? What's my objective in life? To have one tachlis. So that's the way it is. The same way that soldiers are trained, davke in a state of deprivation and of turbulence, in order that they learn how to be completely independent and not to rely at all upon the external circumstances, which are terrifying, and war, they're terrifying, but to be a person that is only drawing from the inner clarity of knowing his objective in war. So too when it comes to Tzivas Hashem, to the Ribono Shel Olam's little soldiers, to all of us, in order to prepare us for Kabbalah Satira, the Ribono Shel Olam broke us. He put us through basic training. He put us through basic training. It hasn't changed. It really is the same way. Because the Ribono Shel Olam wants that a Jew will be able to connect to him no matter what the external circumstances are in life. Whether he's in the most beautiful place. Because a person that has a tiny, you know, the reason that I'm not learning is too comfortable over here. This yeshiva is just too nice. The chairs are too soft. The air conditioning is too good. The meals are too gewaldic. It's very hard for me to learn at a place like that. Then you take them to say, you know what, so maybe you ought to go to a different place. And they take them to another place. And there's no air conditioning. And there's only benches, hard benches. And the food is not, it's not very lachilas keller. There's nothing to eat. So then, of course, the time is, this is crazy. I can't learn like this. And it goes on like that throughout life. Then you have other boys that will say, the reason that I'm not maslich in zishi because I don't have the kind of friends that... If I had a certain kind of guy in this yeshiva that was like me, I would be matzliach in the yeshiva. So then, okay, we'll try to find another yeshiva for you that has those kind of guys. Let me find this. Well, it's true that the guys here are like this, but the neighborhood here, you know, I'm not comfortable with the neighborhood. Or this Rebbe, this yeshiva is not my style of yeshiva. I don't like the way that he smiles or he doesn't smile. I don't like the way that he talks or he doesn't talk. I don't like the way he looks at me. I don't like this, I don't like that. And so we go throughout our lives seeking to have the perfect circumstances or conditions that I should be able to learn. So the Ribono Shel Olam brought us to the Torah davke in a state of vayancha vayarivecha, total deprivation, sleeplessness, hungry and so on, and tired and schlepping. Because the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to create chayalim. He wanted to create an army of avdei Hashem, of servants of God. An army who's able to live with that one tachlis of ma chayvasi ba'ilami. What is my obligation in life? What's my responsibility in life? So that nothing in the world will ever take him away from that single-mindedness. That no lack of friends or overabundance of friends or the right Rebbe or the wrong Rebbe or the right bench or the wrong chair or the right yeshiva or the wrong yeshiva, the right neighbor, the wrong neighbor, that none of these things should be able to take him away from that one objective and goal, which is Kirbis Elokim Litayv. There's nothing in the world that can shake me from that menuchas hanefesh that I have, knowing that this is what I have to do in life. This is what I have to do in life. So therefore the Ribono Shel Olam did not give us a Torah in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't give us a Torah when we were all settled after the conquest, after the kibush, and after we settled into our homes, each person, each shevet in its territory, in its nice place, almei menuchas, being each person in his home and having everything finished and just right, and had to call us out to kabbalas Torah. He davka didn't give the Torah in such a way, and we see this being misgal in the most amazing way in one of the brachas of the Shvatim, in the bracha of Yisachar. So the Torah tells us, because here's the bracha where we find menucha. So it says in the bracha of Yisachar, Vayar menucha ki toiv, Vayet shech malizbal. It says afterwards, Vayar menucha ki toiv. So the Torah begins in the bracha to Yisachar, is Vayar menucha ki toiv. Yisachar is going to have gewaldige menucha. Vayar menucha ki toiv. And then the Torah goes on afterwards to say, the bracha goes on afterwards to say what? Vayet shechmo lizbal. He's going to have to put his shoulders to carry the burden. Vayet shechmo lizbal. Now we know that of all of the Shvatim, the Shevet that was designated to learn Torah more than any of the other Shvatim, to be the biggest Rosh Yeshivas, the biggest Talmid Chacham, was Shevet Yisachar, Bnei Yisachar, Yoidei Bina Le'itim. The biggest Talmid Chachamim, the Rosh Yeshiva, the big Bnei Torah, are from Shevet Yisachar. So again, we would say that if you want to produce a real Chashev HaKailal, a real Chashev HaBesmedrish, to be able to bring out the future generation of Talmid Chachamim, so you would say, let's give these guys a beautiful island. The same thing like we said before. Let's train these young guys in the most beautiful yeshiva, and to be able to have the most wonderful place, the most wonderful conditions, because in order to be a Talmud Chacham, you would say, in order to be able to learn, you need to be in a state of menucha, to have quiet, it should be nice and quiet, it should be good, everything should be good. So look what's going on here. So Yucham explains that Davke, these who are the Chayalei Hashem, these soldiers of Hashem, who are leading the troops in the battle of Torah, that davka, these chayalim were given the bracha of vayar menucha ki toiv and vayed shechmo lizbal. What does that mean? It means that the same way that menucha can only be established, the inner deeper menucha can only be established in the soldier when his external life is broken and shattered, and he doesn't have all of the things, which is the opposite of what he expects. And that's how he's able to come to that tachlis inside of himself, and he's able to find the menucha within himself, and not to depend upon any of the circumstances and the conditions of life. Therefore, davka the Bnei Yisachar, the children of Yisachar, who most desperately need to have menuchas hanefesh in order they should grow and learn, they should become the leaders of the generation in Torah. The davka these, it says, vayar menucha ki toiv. And how does Hashem's brach? What's the brach that they should be able to come to a state of menucha? Vayet shechmo lizbal. It's the opposite. Vayet shechmo lizbal means because we have to produce these people who are of great spirituality, and of people who have inner menucha, menucha pnimis, menucha amitis, that's real menucha. Davka, their external world has to be one of deprivation. Vayet shechmo lizbal. And that's what it says beferish in the Mishnah in Ovis. Kachi darka shel Torah. This is not a popular Mishnah for our times. Kachi darka shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pas b'melach teichal. A piece of bread and salt. You hear this? For the Dougie generation. Pas b'melach, like the guys. The food that's brought in. And it's hard to believe, but my daughter told me that she read someplace that there were a couple of chevra, that guys that are in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, this happened recently, she read somewhere, that there were like a minion of guys, that they had a big cheshek to have food from a certain restaurant in New York. So, they had cheshek to have food from a certain restaurant. So they said, you know what? If we have, let's say, a minion of guys, and each guy chips in, $100, we could be revach. We can get one of the chevra a plane ticket, and then we just give for the meal. And the kachav, I don't know if it's true, but she read to me, or she read something. She told me that they sent a guy. He went to the restaurant. They made an order. He picked up the order and he went back on the plane to Eretz Yisrael to bring the food, to deliver the food. Al eila ani b'chiyah, eini yadamayim. Any other mind, not just Nebuch for those boys, I'm sure they're sweethearts, but not just for those boys that concocted such a plan, not just for them, but I'm wondering about all the others who are thinking, that's not a bad idea. And their mouths are already watering at the thought of how they're going to get somebody over the prime grill, or if they could do such a thing, and if their parents will find out or won't find out, and how do we smuggle the guy into Manhattan, or wherever that is in Brooklyn, I don't know where the restaurant is, how do we smuggle him into this place and get the stuff out and get him back on the plane, because they all have their mommy and daddy, their credit cards, and here can't do with the credit card, because what are we going to show over here? V'chula v'chula. Al eila ni b'chiyah. So we're wondering, how come we're not coming up with Rav Moshe Feinstein's lately? How come we don't see new Rebbe Yoshevs up and coming through the ranks? Yibodol Mecham Lechan. How come we don't see Rav Avadi Yosefs? How come we don't see Rav Shlomo Zalman's Yibodol Mecham? How come we don't see what's going on? There's never been such a time where Torah has been so available to every single boy as it is now. But the parents are begging them. So how come we don't have a Rav Shach anymore? And how come, I'm not saying there are some wonderful guys that know how to learn, but especially when it comes to America and to the American yeshivas, to the degree and to that extent that the bocher lives with the need, the so-called need and expectation for nochiyut, for comfort, for the hammock. But he wants to have a yeshiva with a hammock. To the degree that he wants to have the perfect dira, the perfect friends, the perfect rosh hashiva, the perfect chair to sit on, the perfect temperature in besmeders, the perfect sugi in the gemara, so that all of the things outside of him will be just right. To the degree and to the extent that the yeshiva bacher lives for that and wants that and believes that that somehow is going to give him the opportunity to become a great person, a person of depth, a person that has menuchas and nefesh, to that degree are we failing to produce, to that extent are we failing to produce the next generation of Rebbe Yoshevs, Yibodol Mechaim and Rav Shach. To that degree we're failing to do it, because to become a Rav Shach, all of you know that Rav Shach schlepped across Europe walking to yeshiva, because he couldn't afford to take a train. He walked across Europe. That is, Anyklach still have the shoes that he walked in, the boots that they kept, they put it in not like everybody else puts the silver in the showcase, but they have thereby in Lakewood. That's what I read, that the Anyklach, the Mashiva in Lakewood has not the Anyklach, that's from that was from, because he learned by business by Rabbi Aaron in Kletzk, that they have there the boots, that these are the boots of the Ben Torah. These are the shoes of a Ben Torah. Can you imagine the boots that schlepped across Europe, that schlepped across Russia and Poland to be able to go learn Torah? That no self-respecting Ben Torah would ever wear shoes that are not so shiny that you have to wear eyeglasses when you meet him in the hall. And if he's not wearing like that, he's already a batlan, and the shadchan is already going to say, we don't know, he doesn't take care of himself like that. Rav Shach never would have had a shidduch, you understand? None of the Gedolim would have had a shidduch, and how did Rav Moshe take care of himself? Kachi darkas al Torah, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, this is the way of Torah. Does it have to be that way? It doesn't have to be that way. We can make everything nice and cozy and comfortable, but it's not working. Because the guy's not going through basic training. Kachi darkas al Torah, pas b'melach teichal. To have some bread in salt, dipped in salt. Umayim b'mesuah tishten, to have a measure of water. Not like the guy that's hooked up to the Poland Springs. In Beis Medrash, he could have two wires going through his ears. He's hooked up. He just has Poland Springs. You don't have to even go to the water cooler. You could have Poland Springs, maybe. You could get it with what's it called, Lorraine, in the hospital when they hook you up? Yeah, to IV. He could have intravenous Poland Springs pumped into the system. And then maybe you can move on to Dougie's and to Prime Grill and so on, to have it all automatically pumped into the system. The Mishnah says, Kachi darkas al Torah. Nope, that's not the way of Torah. Darkas al Torah, pas mal teichel. Umayim b'mesuah tish, the water to drink. Gesundheit. B'mesuah, in measure. Val ha'aretz tisha. To sleep on the floor. Al ha'aris tishan. Oh, you can imagine when all the mommies go by intercession, if they see that little Yankel in the yeshiva, that he doesn't have a thick mattress. If she would be allowed into the dormitory, there's a deer, and she goes to the deer, and she sees, gewalt, my Yankel, look what they're putting him through. That he's sleeping, he's not sleeping on the ultimate mattress, from M-A-T-T-R-E-S-S, or whatever it is, and he's sleeping on some thin mattress, like Nebuchadnezzar, like we had to when we were in the mountains, when we were kids, and they tortured us. Not my Yankee. I didn't send him to Eretz Yisrael that he should suffer. I sent him that he should become a Ben Torah. So Al Ha'aretz Tishan, says in the Mishnah, sleep on the floor. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't it be nice? Chachidach Shatara, that's what it says in the Mishnah. And we're all trying to get out of that. We want to be parted from that. Chachidach Shatara. It's a t'nai in Kabbalah Satayr. The same way that it was in the desert thousands of years ago by our Zaydis and Babis, that was what? Vayancha vayarivecha. Schlepping. Sleeping on the ground. Vayancha vayarivecha. Kachi darka Satayr. You can't build an inner, a person who is a gibor, a hero, a pneumistic person, a Jew who lives with one tachlis of machai vasa barlamo, you can't build him as long as every single thing in him depends upon all of the conditions being a certain way. Alaris tishan v'chaye tzar tichya, to live a life of difficulty, of deprivation. Ubatoira ta'amel. But you toil in Torah. That's the t'nai, that you should be a person of menuchas and nefesh. So that person who lives this way, wherever he goes, he's dovek b'Hashem. He doesn't need that mattress. He doesn't need that meal. He doesn't need that type of a place, a room, a house, a deer, a building. He needs only one thing. He needs his sefer. He needs to be able to have his eyes and to be able to sit and to learn, and that's all. And it's the same thing with all avodas Hashem. Vayar menucha ki tov. The Torah is saying, this is the bracha of Yisachar. Vayar menucha ki tov. You want to have, you need to have menucha, because to be a big Talmud Chacham, you have to be a Baal menucha. You have to be single minded. You have to be devoted to the cause. You have to be a warrior. You have to be a soldier. Machir vasa balamo. So you know how I'm going to make you to such a person? Training camp. Vayetshech malizbo. It's going to be a hard life, but then you'll have real menucha. You'll have the menucha that doesn't depend upon the weather. It doesn't depend upon friends and other things in life. You'll have a menucha that depends on one thing, kivus alakim, the friend, my yedid nefesh, who goes with me every second of my life, the Rabbi Shalom. My Rosh Hashiva, who's with me every second of my life, the Rabbi Shalom. My husband, my wife. There are people who say, I'm not married if my life is worthless. I don't have children, my life is worthless. Even though those are, of course, much greater, more noble ritzonis to have in life, still, if you're tachlis in life is to get married, and God forbid that's not answered, or if chas v'shalom, the person that you loved is taken from you, and there's an accident, or God forbid, a sickness, and the person passes away, then you have no tachlis in life. Then you have no menuchas and nefesh. Everything in your life is ruined. Because that was the hook on which you hanged all of your hopes. And you made that the tachlis of your life. And the tachlis of your life was not kivus olakim li tov. It was not closeness to God. It was not dveikus b'Hashem. All the other things in life, those are all part of one's avodas Hashem. But the tachlis is kivus olakim li tov. And that best friend, the Rabbi Shalom, and that husband, the Rabbi Shalom, that wife, the Rabbi Shalom, that child, the Rabbi Shalom, that brother, that sister, that yedid nefesh of a Jew can never, ever, ever be taken from you. Adirabba, davke in the times when it's most difficult, when every other friend seems to have left you, and when everybody in life seems to be ignoring you, there's no question that you can count on that yedid nefesh every single second. Therefore, when our yedid nefesh, when the Baruch Shalom took us out, when he took us out of Mitzrayim, so it says that night, so the Torah says that we didn't have time for the bread to rise, because we were driven out of Egypt. We didn't have time to prepare. It's very strange. And the Ramban himself talks about this. The Ramban says, what was the big rush? This night was the night that was, this was the night that was scheduled. It was on the schedule. Everybody had it circled on their calendar. Every Yid in Mitzrayim had his calendar and his Palm Pilot, and it said on it, I don't know, they don't use Palm Pilots anymore. On his BlackBerry, whatever that is, his telephone, it said on it the time exactly when we're leaving Tzitzis Yisrael. It's ahead over there, mamish, the time. It's a Leil Shimurim, it says in the Torah, it was a night of watching. It was watching means of waiting and expecting. So the question is, if it was already circled on the calendar, and everybody knew when they're leaving, then what is the great shock and the surprise and the tumult that we see when we open up the Chumash? Such a tumult. For Leochlis Mameya, they didn't have a chance to bake anything, to prepare. Everybody was rushing. Why didn't they have everything ready? You would think they would have come with not just that they would have had bread, but it would have been with extra bread and packages, and they would have had their freezers filled. Like we have before Yontif, people, there are people that have ready their freezers with all their things getting ready. There's some people that they prepare like that. But the Baruch Hashem didn't want that. There wasn't a Ratzon Hashem. So even though they knew the time and all the Achanas, but all of a sudden, it's such a strange thing. And it's hard to explain that the Baruch Hashem wanted Davka, all of a sudden, Garshu Mitzrayim. Like, everything seemed to be going quietly. We didn't know exactly what moment. And all of a sudden, Arois! Yidden, Arois! Out! Out! Ki Garshu Mitzrayim. And the last second, the tumult. And we left Mitzrayim in such a way. Why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing? So the Teretz is basic training. Basic training. That's the way to Har Sinai. The way to Har Sinai is that the Baruch Hu was saying this, listen, I want you to understand. You have to, throughout your lives, and your children and grandchildren's lives, who are going to be going through many deserts and difficulties, are going to be living in good times and in bad times, you have to be focused on one thing. And what's that one thing? Lechtech acherai b'midbar, kivus elokim, to go with me, to be with me, to connect to me. And therefore, in order to prepare us for all of the gullies of life and all of the mitzrayims that we'd have to go through, and for all of the moments in life where we would try to accept the Torah, to receive the Torah in the midbars, in the difficulties and the good times, we had to davke leave Mitzrayim. We had to begin our history as a people davke in a state where everything around us was totally crazy and wild, but inside of ourselves we were focused and clear. Inside of ourselves we were quiet. We had the menuchas ha-nefesh within ourselves of lechtech acherai b'midbar, of lechtech acherai b'midbar. That was always in front of our eyes. Shivis Hashem negdi samin. That's what the Ramchal is talking about. Machay vasi ba'alami. So the Rebbeinu Shalom Davka took us out in a tumult because he was telling us that in order for you to be Bali Menucha, Anshe Menucha, people of Menucha, it can never ever depend upon what's happening outside of you. It can only be that Lechtech Acherai B'Midbar, if you have that one tachlis, that one goal. And the rest of the world that is seeking Menuchas HaNefesh through Menuchas HaGuf, the rest of the world is living B'Tachlis HaBilbul. I mentioned the other day that a person could come to the most important day of his or her life, and how you see, like when it comes to a chasna, how much planning people put into a chasna. They hire people. The people they hire, they do it even for l'chaims now, they do it for vart. They hire people that are going to help them to plan that this wedding should be everything. Nobody should have to have the slightest inconvenience. That the chuppah and the chasna should be just right. Everything should be b'seder. And they come to the mishpachas come to the wedding hall, and everything is expected to be just right. And there's not one thing that's missing. The only thing that's often missing is the menuchas nefesh. And I mentioned a horrible thing that I saw years ago when I was working as a waiter, when I was a bach, and I was working as a waiter for a caterer. I'm sure a lot of the guys here have gone through that. And I was working as a waiter, and I was getting things ready there, and something, I don't know what it was, but there was something there with the kala, with her dress. Something was wrong with the kala, and she was arguing with her mother. This was 30 seconds before she was going to go out, you know, when all of a sudden everybody's like looking at her and they start davening. 30 seconds before the doors opened for the grand entrance, I myself was standing there when she called her mother by a four-letter word. She said to her mother, blank you to her mother. I saw this myself. I was standing right there. See, here you have $100,000, whatever it was that was spent to make everything perfect. In the end, she had a tiny that her mother didn't, that something with the hem, I don't know, whatever it was, that the skirt didn't hang, or wasn't lowered on the floor in an elegant enough way. All the money that was spent, that should be the biggest menucha. That should be so beautiful, so perfect, so right, and everything should be just right. All of that was havel havalim. Because inside of these people, that one tachlis of what they had in their minds was never up to them. Because you could be certain that that mother did everything she could to make the dress the right way. She knew what kind of schara she had. You think she wanted to get cursed by a daughter? She knew that she has to be careful. She's probably living like that for 20 years with this kid on eggshells, walking on eggshells with such a tchotchke. You don't think she wanted it right? Besides, for her kid, she wanted it to look nice. For her chevra, she wanted it right. What can you do? Sometimes it happens. You can prepare everything, and the hem got caught on a chair in the room there by the wedding hall. Well, like I said over the ma'isa that many of you have heard from me over the years, this crazy ma'isa. That I was once at one of these chasnas. I was at one of these chasnas, and they had this magnificent chuppah. I remember that this was in a very fancy hotel in the city that they had to take the place special at the kasher. There was like well over a thousand people at this chasna, which in those days wasn't so common. It was a big chasna, very big names, very rich people. And they had this magnificent chuppah, and everything was like, everybody was just like in awe and holding their breath. It was gewaltig. They never saw such a chuppah. And such a chasna kala, she's gorgeous, he's gorgeous. Allah ma'ilus, Allah get the zachik. And what happened was they called up this old rav, who's no longer amongst the living. He's a very big tzaddik. They called up the rav for, I don't think it was for Siddur Kedushin, I think it was for the ksuba, I think for the first brachas, something like that. So they called up the old rav, and it was hard for him to walk. And they brought him to the step, and then he went on the step, and he leaned on the chuppah, on the pole. He leaned on the chuppah, and the whole chuppah collapsed. With hundreds of pounds of the flowers, livelihood, you know, hundreds of pounds of flowers collapsed on this chasna kala. And all I remember is that the whole wedding party was buried under the chuppah, and people are screaming and yelling. There was a photographer that got the lens in his eye, and they had to call Hatzali, he was bleeding. I remember that the kala's leg, with $1 million slippers from Cinderella, or Sleeping Beauty, I don't remember which one, that her leg was sticking up, like you saw that leg sticking up from under the flowers. The chassan's hat was crushed. This was the hat, you understand, that they were afraid in the hat store in Borough Park, they were afraid. They were sittering when he walked in with his mother, that everything should be with this hat, the brin. Everything should be just right. The hat was crushed. Everything was crushed. There was only one survivor that was standing up there. That was the old Rav. That was Nebuch going the whole time, oy vai, oy vai. He was just looking. He was the only one that was okay, Baruch Hashem. He was standing there looking, and everybody was under the chuppah. And the whole island, 1,000 people, were laughing. I mean, they were scared a little bit because of that photographer saying, but so there was a tumult, but they were laughing. It became the biggest gelechta that people spoke about. Usually people have only, you know, for 2 or 3 days, because the other things, this was like at least a good month. It made it from one Rosh Chodesh to the next, such a gelechta that this chasna was, that it was the laughing stock of the whole Jewish world, of the whole firm world, this chasna. I don't know if they had a picture of the roof standing there, because the photographer was under there, so maybe there was another one, but I remember that so clearly, that whole scene. See, here you have a situation where everything was planned. There's only one problem. You can hire a party planner, but the Baruch Shalom fills it up. But nobody can tell you how to feel, because the Baruch Shalom left that up to you. The Baruch Shalom left that up to you. How you are and who you are, the Baruch Shalom left that up to you. And for the generation that had everything just right and expected everything just right, it didn't work out that day. I mean, it's a sad thing, Lemaisa. We don't want anybody to have, like, it's embarrassing and it's hurtful. But Lemaisa, the Musa Haskell of it, is that's it's not going to work. That way of seeking Menucha is not going to work. Before Yontif, I read to you this tefillah from this amazing little book of tefillahs for Shulis. Let me just read to you a few sentences and we'll end. What do we daven for by Kabbalah Satayr? What do we want? What do we ask Hashem Zbach for? Just a few sentences. Rabbanu Shalom, Hashmieni es hoyt kolcha b'yom kodesh v'nayir ezer. Rabbanu Shalom, let me hear, help me that I should hear your awesome voice, the sound, your sound on this day. Asher b'kol ha'harim omru shira. but all the mountains began to sing. The mountains were dancing. The dancing and singing. Aftosuf afu, flying and jumping. Because the whole world, because the whole world wanted to be included in this one nakuda, the hidden truth of all existence, which is what? Shenizgal Sabasina, that was revealed on Sinai, which is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. But now Hashem Elokei Yisrael. On the Zakein, Yerubai Shalom, help me, I shall have this chuz. B'yayim shenishma b'y baskal shechvides kal hayikum. Help me, Yerubai Shalom, on this day, on Shavuos, where the baskal, where that voice, that sound was heard, that caused all of the world to tremble and to shake. He says, Yerubai Shalom, help me that I should be able to hear that sound. And I should be able to say, there's so much of a tumult in the world. There's so much commotion in the world. We have to daven that on Shavuos we should be able to hear the Aseres HaDvar, to hear the Aseres HaDibros. That with all of the commotion, all of the noise of our lives, to still hear after all of these years, to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the way that it was then, and to hear that inside of ourselves. That we should be able to continue to learn. That the way that the Torah was given with thunder and lightning, and so he goes on. It's late; we don't have time. But this is the yisaid and the shayrish of Vayar Menucha Ki Tov Vayet Shichmar Lizbal. The Baruch Shem should help us that each and every one of us should be able to be makabel the Torah, and that we should be able to live good and healthy and comfortable lives, but at the same time, never, ever, ever to lose our focus on Machav Aseinu Ba'olam. What is our responsibility in this world? And why did the Baruch Shem bring us to this world? We should be Zoyche Shuas is the Yartzat of Malka Mashiach. It's the Yisayus of Gula. We should be Zoyche Bez Hashem to see the Gula Hashem of Amitish Mehem Yemen Amen.